Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, in just over 2 months' time, the Olympics will get underway in Paris, and it's set to be a sporting spectacle like never before. So as Irish athletes prepare for the event, RTE Radio 1 will launch a special 11-part series to celebrate some of Ireland's Olympic medalists. The series is called Chapters of Magnificence, and it begins this coming Sunday evening. It will continue right through to the opening weekend of the Paris Games at the end of July. And Damien O'Mara has been working on this series alongside his colleagues in RTE Sport, and Damien joins me now. Good morning, Damien.
Hi, Claire. How are you?
Very well. I want to start by talking to you about the title of the series, Chapters of Magnificence, a magnificent title. It comes from a line used by George Hamilton, does it?
Yeah, not for the first time. George has left a lasting impact on me. Like, George is, you know, the soundtrack to a lot of the most iconic moments in sport that I've ever enjoyed. I was on a media shuttle bus in Tokyo when Fintan McCarthy and Paul O'Donovan won their gold medal, trying to watch the TV coverage on a dodgy link down the back of the bus on my mobile phone. And George's line as the guys crossed the line to win their medal was that this was the latest chapter of magnificence. And for me, it's always stuck with me, and it's always, I think it represents brilliantly what we are dealing with here, because this is the pinnacle of sport. This is the pinnacle of sporting achievement, and the baton is passed from one medalist to the other medalist, and combined they all build this fantastic legacy that Irish Olympians have built over the years.
Well, fair play to you for using one of George's chapters of magnificence in your title. It's 100 years this year since Ireland's involvement in the Olympic Games began as an independent nation. So what you're doing here is taking a look back then at some of Ireland's Olympic medalists.
Yeah, and the centenary is obviously a nice anniversary to hang it off. So the Paris Games, ironically enough, in 1924 was the first time that Ireland was in itself recognised as an independent National Olympic Committee. So the Irish Olympic Council, as it was then, predated the foundation of the Irish Free State. There's a little bit of debate around when the Olympic Council was founded. It's kind of credited to around 1920. So up until that, obviously, Irish athletes competed as part of the Great Britain and Ireland team. There were a couple of controversies, you know, over the years about an insistence on an Irish flag being flown rather than the Union Jack. But so June of 1922 was when the Irish Olympic Council got recognition. So here we are, 100 years on, celebrating the centenary of Ireland participating in the Summer Games, in particular as an independent nation.
So then as we look at Ireland's medal-winning success at the Olympics, Damien, we can go back to 1928. Pat O'Callaghan winning a gold in the hammer.
Yeah, so if we discount the medals which existed in Paris for like art and literature and those, if we focus exclusively on say sporting medals, so we've 35 medals in all that we can reflect upon, 11 gold, 10 silver and 14 bronze. So, like, we medaled very early in our own right, our second games in the sporting context in Amsterdam in 1928, and then it carries you all the way through to Kelly Harrington, who won her boxing medal on the final day of the delayed Tokyo 2020 games. So when you break it down, there are currently 25 living Irish Olympic medalists, and one man whose legacy kind of permeates the entire thing is Ronnie Delaney. He is, when you speak to the people who have medalled and who have competed in the Olympics for Ireland, he is, without a shadow of a doubt, the patriarch that, like, you know, welcomes people into the Olympic community when they qualify to compete for Ireland, and is a man who is always very quickly on the phone to, celebrate with people and congratulate people when they join it. So he's our oldest living Olympic medalist from Melbourne, the 1500 metres in Melbourne back in 1956. And obviously, as mentioned, you know, Kelly, the most recent in Tokyo in 2020.
Yeah, he's an extraordinary man, as you say, Kelly, at the other end of it then, bringing it right up to date. But what's lovely about the series, Damien, is how you use the archive footage, and some of the guests, they've only heard it for the first time in some cases.
Yeah, so I make no apologies for the fact that I'm a complete anorak, and radio for me is the most perfect medium to broadcast in and to enjoy anything in, and I would tend to enjoy sport through radio as much as, or more so than I would through television. the first interview that we recorded, so we have 11 episodes, 10 of which are specially recorded interviews and newly recorded interviews where the Olympians relive their Olympic career and their successes. And the first one that we recorded was Michael Carruth. So on the Michael Carruth won his medal at lunchtime on a Saturday. And on the Monday morning, Miles Dungan was presenting one of the precursors to this programme. And they dedicated maybe the first hour of the programme to him. And he had his mum was in studio, two of his brothers with whom he's a triplet were in studio, and he had never heard that because he was in Barcelona, or he was in the act of coming home from Barcelona. So one of the things that's really struck me over the course of the series is that while, and you get this with a lot of sports people, if you ask sports people to relive some of their most iconic moments, they will openly admit to you that they relive it through the television coverage rather than relive it as they experienced it themselves firsthand, because they've seen the footage on so many times. And in an era where YouTube and visual social media allows these incidents to live on, the radio archive has kind of been hidden away. And we have this like trove of stuff here that it has been such a joy to go through the archive here and to dig out programmes and find interviews with various people from over the years. And the great benefit to it is you're playing Michael Carruth stuff he had never heard before. Likewise, I think we might hear a clip of John Tracy in a couple of minutes. Likewise, Keane O'Connor listening to Charlie Bird break the news of him losing the medal that he won, the gold medal he won at Athens. So it's fresh for them, and it's, in some cases it's actually quite emotional as well to hear their reactions to stuff that they never knew existed in the first place.
So tell us, what are we going to hear now from the Michael Carruth programme, which is coming up on Sunday?
So one of the things that I think we're in an era now where Olympic sport and Olympians get, there's probably greater recognition of them in advance of games, and we will send our biggest team to Paris this year, and there will be people that will become household names who maybe weren't that well known in advance. I think back in 1992, there's not an awful lot of people would have known who Michael Carruth was in advance of him heading to Barcelona before ultimately coming back with that gold medal. And he became like such a big name in Irish life literally overnight, but not just him, because I think for a lot of people, you remember his celebration jumping up and down in the ring after he won, and those scenes with his father in Barcelona. But the family home became almost the centre of Irish broadcasting over the course of the week, and cameras descended on his poor mother Joan and his family as they watched the fight. And he speaks very openly in the series about the important role that his family played in helping him win that gold. He was one of 10 children, a triplet. He was coached by his father. And we can hear from him and Des now, who are talking about the impact and the role his family played at the time.
Austin always felt that the family was a wall that we could lean on. Mick Dowling said the other day that Michael hadn't got a mountain to climb, he had Everest to climb. I think with Paula gave Michael a leg up that mountain and family gave him another one. But it was Austin in the end who gave him that final push up the mountain, and that's the way we always work in the Eyre family. We help each other all the way.
Is that emotional hearing your mother and father now from...
Yeah. I've never heard that. I've never heard that in the field. So they were a great family. My father, my mother and father were, you know, every time we wanted to do something, in a sense that, you know, they wouldn't let us, they wouldn't stop us, you know. My ultimate aim was, obviously, I wanted to be a boxer, and my dad bought us into boxing at the ripe old age of 5 or 6 years old in Green Hills Boxing Club, and then we moved to Drimnagh a few years later because our premises was destroyed. And I always lived up to the mantle of my mother's brother, Martin Humpson, who was the first light middleweight champion of Ireland. And there was always a slagging and bragging between the Carruths and the Humpsons, you know what I mean? And he won one national title. I won about 10. And every time I win a title, I say, I'm as good as my uncle Martin. And she say, no. Mm-hmm. I went to the World Championships bronze medalist. I'm as good as my uncle Martin. No. And I'm coming down the flight stairs from Barcelona. And I said to me, Ma, and the big gold medalist now. I said, am I as good as my Uncle Martin? And she says, you are now. And I said, Ma, oh no, I'm not, I said. So it was always that, something to push you, you know what I mean? And that was the way I said, and I always said to my dad, like the training methods my dad used to bring me in. And I have to say as well, Eugene Trainer was my dad's cousin. Eugene brought me into a different dynamics of training as well in relating to weight training, you know? We were a great team, all the whole family.
So that's Michael Carruth in conversation with Des, and in advance of that archive of Michael's mum Joan Clare from Barcelona back in 1992.
Okay, and there's lots to look forward to in this 11-week series, Damien. Are you going to come back to us here on this programme in a few weeks to tell us more?
Well, listen, if you'll have me, I'll be only too happy to come back with all of my archives. So yeah, so it starts with Michael this week, and like there's such a mix of voices that we've tried to get, and there's some people that are very, very recognisable and the stories are very recognisable. So we've the likes of John Tracy, Sonny O'Sullivan, like the boxing heritage, Paddy Barnes, Kenneth Egan, David Wilkins, who won a sailing medal in Moscow in 1980. So there's some fantastic stories and some great archive. And the one thing I have to say is that people have been so giving of their time and so giving of their memories, and it's been such an enjoyable experience to sit down and to listen to these people who had achieved so much. And even the likes of Des and Greg Allen and other people from around here who've literally lived these moments with them and have such great memories and are such a part of the Olympic story for me and for other people who've enjoyed their coverage over the years. So it's been a great joy to work on, I have to say.
And listen, we're all going to enjoy it because it's going to bring back so many memories for all of us who listen, and we look forward to seeing you and hearing from you, Damien, in a few weeks' time on this programme as well. Chapters of Magnificence. It begins this Sunday, that's the 19th of May at 7:30 on RTE Radio 1. It's going to continue right through to the opening weekend of the Paris Games at the end of July, and it'll be available wherever you get your podcasts and via the RTE radio player. That's Damien O'Mara from RTE Sport. Damien, thank you very much.
Thank you, Claire.
We'll take a break here.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.